I wonder if you can define these words for me. What do these words mean? The. What does the mean? Blank looks all round. Who? What does who mean? That. Which? I thought I knew what that and which mean, but my spell checker keeps telling me that I use the wrong ones in the wrong place all the time. They're words which we use all the time, which when it comes to trying to explain them, it's really hard. Here's another one. Love. Everybody knows what love means. At least we think we do. But it is such a difficult word to actually define. One last one. Worship. What does it mean? I doubt you can get through a service here without hearing the word. But what does it mean? We sometimes sing songs like, "Here I am to worship," or "Come, now is the time to worship." But what does that mean? Across the archway here, it says, "God is a spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." But what does that mean? It is a really tricky word to pin down, I think. And all of that makes the title of our service this morning a bit complicated. You see, we're finishing our series on the ways which God has provided for us to grow as disciples. We've seen that we grow through prayer, through study, through patience and perseverance, through service, through community, and even through suffering. And I guess that with each of those, we can see what it means, even if it is a challenge to put into practice. But this morning, we finish by looking at growing through worship. What does that mean? Well, in one sense, everything that we've looked at in this series could be included under worship. Because worship is really giving the whole of your life to God. Our prayer, our study, our serving, they are all acts of worship. They should be done for His glory. But I do think that within that, there is something special about these times when Christians meet together as we are this morning. And that's what we're thinking about. How does what we are doing here this morning help us to grow as disciples? And I think our first reading that Kath just read for us from Hebrews 10 actually gives us three things that should be happening as we meet together on a Sunday. And they are three things that are vital if we're going to grow as disciples. So let's look together at Hebrews 10, 19 to 25 and look at those three things now. And the first thing is, we're told, let us draw near to God. There at the beginning of that reading. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God. Now, the letter to the Hebrews was written to Christians from a Jewish background, and so a lot of the imagery which we find strange would have been clear to them. But essentially, what it means is that we can actually draw near to God. And I suspect that that's something which we tend to take for granted, but we shouldn't. Go back to the beginning of the Bible. You'll find that at the beginning, Adam and Eve did have a face-to-face relationship with God. But then they rebelled against God and went their own way. And the result was that they were thrown out of God's presence. And if you know Genesis chapter 3, you'll know that they were thrown out of Eden. And an angel with a flaming sword was placed at the entrance to stop them ever going back. They could never draw near to God again. And that's been true for every person since then. We can't get back to Eden. We actually can't come into God's presence. But what we can't do, God made possible. When Jesus died, he opened a way back. So the only way that I can draw near to God is through faith in Jesus, who's opened this new and living way. And it is a great thing. When I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life, that barrier between me and God was broken down. And now I know that God is with me all day, every day. Isn't it great? So in one way, if you're a Christian, you can't actually come into God's presence because you live the whole of your life in God's presence. So why does the writer here say, let us draw near to God? I think in part it's because, have you ever had that experience of being in the same room as someone and suddenly realizing that they're talking to you, but you haven't been paying any attention? It's actually quite embarrassing. It's perfectly possible to be present with someone and yet not to be present. You see, the one reason that I need to draw near to God is not because God was somewhere else, but because I was somewhere else. My mind was on other things. And actually, I can do that best when we meet together on Sunday. Jesus said, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Although if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is with you all the time by his Spirit. He is present in a special way when we meet together like this. This morning, Sunday 29th October 2017, Jesus is here with us. And it's as we meet like this that particularly Jesus might want to say something to you or do something for you. We do sometimes say in our services, the Lord is here. And it's kind of almost like a, you know, one of those sort of code things. If somebody stands up and says the Lord is here, what they really mean is we're starting our service. But actually it's true. As we meet together, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us in a particular way. So there's one thing that we should expect to be happening as we meet together, and which is so important. As we meet together like this, we come together with one another, but we do draw near to God. We push aside those things that have sort of blocked our view of him. The second thing that we do, that we find here in this passage, is let us hold on to our faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the faith we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And again, it might sound, well, pretty straightforward. Just got to hold on to my faith. What's so difficult about that? Why do I need to turn up on Sunday for that? But actually, when you think about it, it's not that simple. Because we've got a problem. It's the world which, as Christians, we are completely out of step with. We live in a world which doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't acknowledge him as Lord, and it just chips away at our faith. Just think, what might crop up in your life this week? You're talking to a neighbor tomorrow. He asks you about your weekend. When you tell him that you went to church, he says, well, they've got nothing against church, but they prefer to worship God in their garden. After all that matters is that you do your best in life, isn't it? And then you put on the telly, and there's yet another program. Probably Philip Pullman will be in it, talking about his new book and about the fact that there isn't a God and Christians are completely deluded. And then you're having a conversation with a friend of yours who's gay, and they say that Christians are bigots because of their attitude to gays. As long as two people love each other, it doesn't matter what sex they are or whether they're no sex at all at the marriage. And it all sounds basically fairly convincing. And then you get a phone call telling you that a relation has just been diagnosed with a serious illness. And the person who's phoned says, "How could God let this happen?" And you kind of find yourself agreeing, wondering if God really does love people, if he really does love you. And all of those things chip away. All the time you are mixing day in, day out with people who treat faith as completely irrelevant or maybe worse. And it'll happen this week and it'll happen next week. And that's what Jesus was talking about in that gospel reading from Matthew. It is all too easy to listen to the wrong voice because it's talking to you day in and day out. And so it's easy to end up on the broad way because it's actually so much easier than the narrow way. Believe me, it is easy to hear Jesus' words, but not to be putting them into practice. But when you come to church on Sunday, it restores your vision. You get back on track with the truth. So you sing a song about the greatness of God and you're reminded that God really is great. Then you come to confession and you remember that actually we are all sinners. We're constantly rebelling against our gracious and loving Father and how absolutely amazing and wonderful our salvation is. And then the Bible is read and explained and you realize again, this is the truth about God and about you. Why do you need to be here on Sunday? Why is it such a big deal? Because it helps you to hold on to the faith you profess. And it is that faith in Jesus which is the key to living life to the full. So we draw near to God. We hold on to our faith. And lastly, we meet together like this to encourage one another. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. I don't know what was in your mind as you woke up this morning and remembered it's Sunday. Maybe you've had a tough week and you're very aware of needing to draw near to God so that he can refresh you. Maybe you knew that the last week has challenged you as a disciple and you just need to be here so that your faith can be strengthened. But regardless of whether either of those things are true, one main reason that you're actually here is so that you can encourage everyone else. It's actually a key reason that we meet like this. I said earlier that we meet Jesus, when we meet like this, Jesus is present in a distinctive way. And that's because in the New Testament, the way in which God normally speaks to one of his people or does something for one of his people is through another Christian. We tend to think two-dimensionally. I worship God, God blesses me. But it's actually far more biblical to think three-dimensionally. I worship God by serving his people. God blesses me through his people. Which of course means that if you're not here, none of it works. And it isn't just that one or two of us, you know, the speaker, the service leader, the musicians have a part to play. We actually all have a part to play in this. Let us encourage one another. So how? What's going on here? Well, I have to tell you, one thing that encourages me is when I hear a church full of people praising God together. Because that actually helps me to praise him, especially if I'm feeling a bit low. Guys, when you sing out our songs this morning, you won't just be praising God, you'll be encouraging and helping me. So thank you. Or it might be in welcoming someone you've never seen before or never spoken to before. Or it might be in prayer. Our prayer ministry team is such a great way of serving and encouraging one another. And I've said before, it just constantly amazes me how slow we are to allow the Lord Jesus to meet with us through their ministry. Or it might just be giving someone a hug because you know that they need it. Or it could just be smiling at someone. Or just asking someone who you know has been ill how they're getting on. Trust me, there is something that you could do this morning that will make someone else here glad that they came and really glad that you came. Drawing near to God, holding on to faith, encouraging one another. That is what our services on Sunday should be about. And friends, if they aren't, if that isn't happening, you need to tell me. Because something's wrong and we need to be putting it right. You've probably seen one of the statistics which is frequently bandied around is that the number of people attending church is in decline. There might be several reasons for it. It's no longer something which is the social norm. And there are so many other things clamoring for people's time. There's this increasing individuality which rejects anything organized. And as I said last week, people do frequently tell me, oh, I can be a Christian without going to church. And it kind of might be right in theory, but it does not work in practice. We saw last week, you will never flourish as a Christian without community, without the church. We need one another if we are to grow. And we need what is happening here this morning if we are to stand any chance of growing as disciples. We actually need times together like we're having this morning. Because in a sometimes hostile world, we need times when we can draw near to God, when we can hold to the faith we profess, and when we can encourage each other. Because actually those things are key things when it comes to growing as disciples.